there is nobody as incredible as Ivana Perkovic, which makes
Who?
it.
That's.
I
Oh
don't
my
know who
God,
she
two
is.
different athletes.
And there's no saving that one, guys, is there? There's no saving that one.
No. No.
Who's Ivana? Who's
Spanovich. Spanovich.
Ivanovic? Oh, for fuck's sake. Scheitzer. Okay, let's try that again. Trackastic, the fantastic podcast brought to you by Twitter's Athleticos. I'm Jamie at McGann Jamie.
And I'm Gabby at Smoky Mozzarella.
And who knew so much could happen in just a few weeks, Athleticos? We've got missed tests, Twitter fights involving everyone who was anyone from the 1990s, retirements, records, cold remedies, and rambunctious middle distance races.
And we've got Diamond Leagues in Birmingham. Everyone's talking about Dina Asher Smith.
Whoop!
The crew is here today.
I'm Carol at Flick22S.
I'm Chris at Chris Brown Sport.
I'm Kerry at the Petit Cushion.
And I'm David at Fan_Athletics.
Yay! Everybody is talking about Dina, but they're also talking about the return of David at Fan_Athletics, which also means the return of actually chatting about middle distance races, right? Because that hasn't happened on here for a few episodes.
Oh. Yeah, you can actually even see, like, in the little preview bits that I did, I included so much like distance related stuff, and then everything else is just really sparse. And then I've got all these like queries and questions and almost like tactics written out for all like the 10k 5k kind of news. The rest of it, I was like, I don't know. So yeah, you can definitely tell I'm back.
We can. So the last episode was just before the British Championships, so that's timeline in terms of what we're going to discuss today. And a lot has happened. Will we begin with the more miscellaneous before we go into the British champs?
Yes, let's do the miscellany first.
Okay. The miscellaneous item number one. He was banned. He was not banned. He was going to be in Doha. He was not going to be in Doha. And now he's back in Doha. Christian Coleman missed three tests, but he didn't miss three tests in the same year. What the fuck?
And ultimately, who cares?
That's also true. Yeah.
The best description I saw of this was, Carol, when you said it's like doing your VAT returns, where the year is not quite the year you think it is. You have to start counting from a different point in the year.
Well, you can kind of bump it. If you've got a big invoice with that, you can kind of bump it from one quarter to another. So I imagine it's kind of that situation.
So does that mean he bumped the big test?
Yeah, when it's 12 months, not 12 months, but hey-ho.
Well, I'm thinking, I can kind of say what I want about him because he blocked me on Twitter. So he's about as interesting to me as VAT. So.
Can someone actually explain to me what has happened? Because I didn't actually read the USADA report. All I know is that the 12 months suddenly became 14 months. So I actually don't know how that happened. So do you guys know? Because I didn't bother reading it.
I think it was whenever one of the tests was a filing report. So he'd filed where he would be wrong, if I'm right. And that was then backdated to the beginning of the quarter. So even though the missed test was within the 12 months, the start of the filing period was not, I think. Which is a fuck up in the rules, which I imagine that they'll probably have to address.
Side note, that may be the first time I've ever heard Carol swear.
USADA and USATF are not having a great year in terms of having to rewrite the rule books, aren't they? Because they had to rewrite the rules about American records when Mondo broke the US record. So there's a lot of writing going on by our friends the other side of the Atlantic.
Okay, smooth link pending. Mondo owns the world junior record. The world junior record in the women's 100 metres belonged recently to Brianna Williams, who also failed a test. That's a bit shocking.
Seems a bit daft to take like a cold remedy your mum got you whenever you're under testing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I said at the time Marin Cilic in tennis had the same thing. His mum went to the chemist, and I think he did get banned. But
I think
a bit irresponsible.
Yeah,
I think we need a responsible mum in the mix here. So, David, what's Mary up to these days?
I would not trust Mary with anything of the sort. Definitely not. She would also probably sabotage someone like Jess Judd, who she just doesn't like for no reason whatsoever.
Jess Judd's lovely.
I know she hates her. I hope she doesn't listen to the podcast and maybe edit that.
It's a strong word.
She hates her. I think it's because she doesn't run with a hairband, genuinely.
Okay.
My God.
So Brianna Williams' status going into Doha, is she somebody who can run or can't run? Or is it a Coleman case where we just don't know?
I haven't heard.
Was she in the mix in the squad?
Yeah.
She qualified, yeah. Didn't she? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Qualified, she was third, yeah. She didn't do the 200 because she was ill.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where the whole thing happened, when she took that cold remedy during that time, because she had a really high fever, so... They put in a medical exemption for the 200 metres, but obviously I think they would just discount that one now anyway.
So for two athletes there where things are a bit up in the air, the final drugs case that I want to talk about is one of the more obvious ones. Will we put it that way? I mean, yeah. She's been a pain in my arshy massive for probably 6 years. I don't know how to pronounce her Arsi Marsova name, but I'm just going to go for Arsi Marsova.
So what I like about Arsi Marsova getting busted is that now, is that both Arsi Marsova and Titi Metz both busted? Because they were just the fantastic combination of names, Arsi Marsova, Titi Metz. So I think that's them both out.
Wow. So we just need Sven Nipples and then we've got the whole set.
So from the, I guess, the somber to the happy, which is the German women recently, another miscellaneous item number two, Gabby, would be German women's 4x1 running an exceptional 41.67. But actually, do we care? In this, just in the sense that, haven't they done this before? Don't the German ladies run these crazy times and then turn up and it's back to 42.4 or whatever it is?
Yep, 2016, just before Rio, I think they ran 41.7 and didn't get anywhere near that. So wouldn't get too excited.
It was the World Challenge in Berlin.
The World
Challenge. Oh, was it? Did they ever run that fast outside of Germany?
Yeah, I don't believe those results. Yeah. I'm always very sceptical.
So, speaking of sceptical, Dave, what do you think about Sal Peter's time in the 10K?
Yeah, so basically, Sal Peter, who's probably most famous for miscounting the laps last year in Berlin, she ran a European record in the 10K. So she actually beat Paula's 10K record, which, you know, if you're breaking a Paula record,
absolutely,
pretty spectacular. And I've always in my head thought Sal Peter was quite young, but she's not. I think she's in her late 20s, and it's only been in the last few years she's actually come on quite well. So
that's quite saying... young to me.
No, yeah, I mean, like, you know what I'm saying, though.
The stony silence on the line there.
But you know what I mean? Like, in your list, like 29, I'm not sure what age you think. She's like 28, 29 for a professional athlete.
I thought you were going to say she's like 37 or something.
No, but you know what? I'll just stop talking, shall I? I'll just hang up. But yeah, so she's also being coached by her husband, and there's a few of those kind of situations going on at the minute, and it just seems a bit I'm just a bit skeptical. She ran 30.05, which is like the second fastest 10K ever. I'm just a bit, I don't know, a bit suspicious again. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what comes of it. I mean, she's going to be running, I think, the marathon in Doha. She ran 2:19 earlier this year, so who knows? But all I can say is good luck to whoever's running the marathon and doing the walks in Doha, because it will be disgusting. It will be disgusting.
They're late, aren't they?
They're at midnight. They're
but, midnight. It's humid as anything.
No, well, like when I was coming back, I think I'd said to you guys when I was coming back from Vietnam, my layover was in Doha. And basically we had to walk from the bus up the flight of steps to get onto the plane. This was at like around 2 a.m. And as soon as I stepped off the bus, my glasses just like steamed up. Like I was like in the oven, genuinely. It was disgusting. It was so bad. My first thought was like those poor athletes. I mean, obviously it's 2 months down the line, but even so, it's going to be disgusting. And is Callum running?
This is my concern. Do I need to go to
my name?
Do I need to like all the freaking
get the child of Prague.
I'm so worried. Oh, the child of Prague is literally sitting on my lap, being petted on the head. Kerry will have her cat. I'll have the child of Prague. I'm not joking. I mean, you think I'm joking. I'm really not. And the child of Prague is actually specifically supposed to be related to weather. So I'm just going to be rubbing her head to like decrease the temperature in Doha so people can live and survive. Speaking of holy water and people that need prayers, Wade Van Niekerk.
Oh.
Still injured, still absent from competition. What do we think about this, guys?
What the most annoying thing about this is how he did the bloody injury. Yeah. If it was something he did, you know, training or whatever, but it was just this is why you don't play football or touch rugby or go on Travelators or whatever.
Is anyone even remotely surprised? I mean, when I saw the statement, I kind of already assumed he wasn't competing. I would have been more surprised if he said, oh yeah, I'm fit to compete. Like, I kind of expected him to just pull out anyway.
Yeah, it's ACL, and that's nasty for anyone. But I think it was pretty much exactly what happened to Perry, and we all know what happened there. So I can't see him getting back to his best.
To come back and not even anywhere near what she could have done before. So.
But then at the same time, we've got Karani James back.
Yay!
You see the time?
Yes!
44.5
That is such happy news.
So good.
That feels like the partnership we never got to see, or the rivalry we never got to see.
Yeah.
Because you know, because they were the two coming through, kind of an age. From slightly unusual countries, and by that I mean not just Kayla, another US 400 meter runner. You know, they had interesting backgrounds, and I feel cheated that we didn't get to see Karani versus Wade, you know, kind of slugging it out. So it's great to see Karani back, but I guess they're both still young enough that might still happen.
Van Niekerk, I don't expect him to come back, but stranger things have happened, you know.
At all?
I don't expect him to come back to anywhere near the form that he was in.
Yeah.
How could he with a knee injury that bad?
But like, I wouldn't rule out maybe like a 44, like a mid 44, low 44 kind of time. But I agree, like nowhere near, you know, 43.4 or anything around that.
But we'll always have Rio, and it was a moment. Mm-hmm. It was a moment.
It was incredible, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of incredible, there is nobody as incredible as Ivana Perkovic, which makes it...
That's...
I don't know who she is.
Two different athletes.
There's no saving that one, guys, is there? There's no saving that one. Who's Ivana?
Ivanovic.
Ivanovic. Oh, for fuck's sake. Scheitzer. Okay, let's try that again. Oh, funny. So Spanovic is out. And with it, Serbia's chances. Although Darko, maybe?
I don't think Darko's going to be in the decathlon squad. His only competition this year was in Ratingen, and he pulled up in the first 20 metres of the 100 metres with a dodgy hamstring, so not looking good. But he did have the high point of the small games of Europe. Chris was. And he's not Serbian anyway, he's Montenegrin. So.
Okay, this is getting a serious edit. I don't know my names. My first name is from my second name. I don't know my Montenegro from my Serbian. Oh, God. Any Albanians I can insult.
Luisa Gega. But I mean, Ivana going out is such a shame because the women's long jump is just amazing at the minute. It's one of the best events, isn't it?
So
it would seem like Mihambo probably has gold tied up, but it's really, it really mixed for who could get the other two medals.
But you can never rule out the long jump beast. That's her handle. I didn't give her that name. She gave her name that self. Her name. Brittany Reese is amazing. She's an amazing competitor. Yeah. And she's in shape, so she can do it. She can absolutely do it. But, I mean, who expected, who in God's name expected a 684, maybe 686 from Thiam?
I know.
Hand up if you thought Thiam was going to rival KJT in the long jump.
No. I mean, that was KJT's kind of banker, wasn't it?
She is remarkable, Gabby. Do you think there's any interest on her side to do a long jump in Doha or potentially in Tokyo?
I don't know. I haven't really picked that up yet, but I suppose she's still so young that if, you know, she's already Olympic champion, she's already world champion. So at what point do you start repeating yourself, or do you look for a new challenge? You know, so... we'll see how the heptathlon plays out. I mean, she's still got more to give in the speed events. I mean, obviously, I think she was a bit faster this year, so she's obviously been working on some of the speed stuff, and she's been working a lot on the hurdles as well. So I think there's still a bit more to come in some of those. I'm going to say weaker events. It's not exactly weak, so I'm guessing she'll want to top that out. You know, and then I suppose it's a question of whether she wants to go after the world record a la Kevin, or whether she decides to focus on one of the individual events as well. So it's hard to say. The challenge is, though, that with the combined events, if you put more effort into one event, you lose it, and, you know, there's a risk that you lose it somewhere else. So so that's the challenge. But that's still exciting.
I wonder whether she has worked on the other ones just in case her elbow does go a bit on when she's doing the javelin.
She's
got to pick those points up elsewhere just in case that doesn't quite go to plan.
Doubt, I think, and I think, Gabby, that's such a good point. She's already got the Olympic title. She's going to go for another one, and then beyond that, I mean, juggling the long jump and the high jump individually would be a mouth-watering prospect, really. Somebody else I want to talk about is a former rival of both Nafi and KJT, and that's
Gabby.
She had some good news this week, right?
She has. And as I read it in a Canadian magazine, Brianne Thiessen-Eaton and spouse are expecting a baby.
Oh, I love it.
That is so cool.
Beautiful. So, yeah. So, Ashton's quite high maintenance, as we know. So, apparently they're having a space knot. It's like, I mean, I know that expectant parents kind of have a name for their baby, like, you know, Peanut or whatever, you know, but space knot, thanks, Ashton. Yeah. But I have to say, all of the, you know, lots of wonderful congratulatory tweets, you know, whatever. But everyone's saying, here comes 2044 kind of, you know, heptathlon or decathlon champion. And it's like, oh, my God, leave the poor kid alone. Let them not be, you know, as soon as the instant they're born, you know, be kind of destined for that kind of greatness. So,
but at the same time, it's like Fiona May, you know, when you have a clean athlete who has a child, you can kind of trust that child is going to come through well. So I think for both of those, that child has a bright future, whereas it's just a shame for someone who's like the child of Arsi Marsova. You know, they have one path to take, really, and that's it.
So we've had the child of Prague, the child of Thiessen-Eaton, and the child of Arsi Marsova, the lesser known saint.
The lesser known saint.
And of course, there's the child of Child as well, because Ailey Child / Doyle is up the duff.
Oh, that's a smooth link.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. It was brilliant. I love it. I love Ailey. She's great, and that's fantastic for her. And I get the feeling like she's just going to be back straight at it just before Tokyo, and just kind of going, and what? What's the big deal?
Well, that's the thing. She's so consistent and reliable. She's never had, we've spoken about this before, she's never had those kind of astounding, you know, kind of mind-blowing performances. And I don't mean that in a negative way. But yeah, you just totally think, yeah, she'll get back there and she'll just deliver because she's so reliable. So sorry, Ailey, no pressure. You know, if you could if you could just be back in the 4x4 team, you know, for Tokyo, that'd be great. So.
Yeah, exactly. One more games, one more leg in a relay, Ailey, come on. But speaking of somebody who's came back after giving birth and after a complicated birth, particularly we've had Alice and Felix. She didn't quite make the team at US Nationals, but she's made the team in the individual, rather, but she's made the team in the relay. And I just saw her today at the outdoor games. I can't remember where it was, Stoke-on-Trent or somewhere like that.
Stoke-on-Trent.
Same thing. So in England. My geography today is astounding. I love it. Yes, so she's back. And I just find Alice and Felix, we talked about it last time, she's so refreshing at the moment, isn't she?
Yeah, I guess Nike have, they look like they've changed their policy on maternal protection, although there's some questions about whether it's all it seems to be. There's Mays and Shalls rather than Wills, if you like. But she's definitely shone a light on the issue. And I think she's gone to quite a new company as well now as our sponsor. I can't remember what its name is. I'm just looking at it just now. So Athleta, how do you pronounce it? Is it Athleta or Athleta or I don't know. We're going to have to sort that out. But their motto is alone we are strong, united we thrive. Together we create the hashtag power of she. So there you go.
Power of she, I like that.
She-rash.
I know, I was thinking that as well. You hear that, you want to go, she-ra. Yeah.
Well, I actually just thought of the she-we. Do you remember that?
No.
It's a different show, really, isn't it?
I really, actually really liked her outfit today. I thought it was really cool. It kind of reminded me of like Serena Williams almost. Like a bit of like a half catsuit type thing. It was really, really cool looking.
I don't know why, especially the bigger stars, why they don't work with the company to develop something personal. For them, you know, like you said, like Serena does, she has all her different cat suits and whatnot. I don't see why they couldn't work with them, you know, on the off season.
What did back in the day, the fastest woman dead, as Carmelita Jessa would say, what did Flo Jo do? Did she just make that on her sewing machine, or was that a company doing all those one legged things?
I don't know.
I never noticed whether they were branded. Sorry, I realised that was crass, but I'm only kind of following in the steps of Carmelita.
I'm still
James,
laughing.
Fastest woman alive.
But, you know, for all her faults, that was good. She wore something different.
Sometimes it was a bit ridiculous. And something else is a little bit ridiculous and just incredibly, incredibly random is Kerron Stewart's appearance in Estonia as a coach. Okay, now bear with me.
This is so good.
I want this to be a segment right now. We are moving towards a new segment of the show called Random Shit That Happens in Athletics. Because Kerron Stewart coaching in Estonia is definitely up there with Merlin Otte turning up competing for Slovenia. Because who expected this? Jamaican ladies keep you on your toes. Let's put it that way, guys.
It was such a strange thing. So I mean, I obviously follow a lot of decathletes on Instagram. So I think it might have been either Christian Rosenberg or Risto Lillemets. I was watching one of their videos, and I'm going, "Oh right, you know, there's someone coaching them and a whole bunch." I'm going, "That's bloody Kerron Stewart. What's she doing there?" And there was this whole thing that she was there with half the decathlon squad and a whole load of other young Estonian athletes. So yeah, there we go. I mean, there is obviously kind of a bit of a Caribbean link through the, you know, the Weebos. There's a bit of a link there, but yeah. So anyway,
there, Gabby.
That's me kind of reaching hugely for some kind of cross-Atlantic link. But yeah, there we go. Kerron Stewart was coaching some Estonian decathletes a few months ago.
So what I would like to invite our listeners to do is to think of the most random thing in athletics that they can remember and to share that with us underneath this post. So I remember randomly discovering that Liz McColgan's coach was actually John Anderson from the Gladiators.
Oh God, I remember that. I think we all remember where we were when Jamie realised that.
That was random. Merlin Naughty for Slovenia was just, sorry, what? and ending up on a 4x1 with a Lenka B car, you're thinking, sorry, what? That was an odd one.
My only one, it took me about 3 years to realise that Adam's coach, Steve Fudge, was Stephen Fudge. It was in my class at school, which what? I probably should have noticed a bit quicker. And also that, and then about another 2 years to realise that his twin brother Barry is the head of endurance.
I did not know that. No. I did not know that. So that's new.
Alums of Le Havre High School. Barry did higher PE, and we all went, why the fuck? Nobody does higher PE. But that kind of worked out well for him, obviously.
Oh, Carol, you're in amazing form today. I love it.
The sun shining in the Highlands, it does strange things.
So we're getting there. Miscellaneous item number 167. Speaking of amazing form, the world record is approaching for Yulimar Rojas, guys.
It is.
Yes.
Come on.
What did she jump in Spain? 15:40-something?
15:41.
Yeah.
And her form is still horrible.
She still can't step.
There's literally no step. It's the double jump. It's not a triple jump.
But isn't it weird that it's coming up to, well, nearly 25 years since both the men's and women's were set in Gothenburg. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, well, Will Clay and Christian Taylor are pushing each other as well. It's like, wouldn't it be funny if they both went in Doha at the same chance?
A quarter of a century, and I remember both of those records. Oh my God, David wasn't even born.
He wasn't really old, that quarter of a century.
Old like Sal Peter, apparently, but okay. The last miscellaneous item that I wanted to mention was 6 meters, Mondo. 6 meters, Sam. 6 meters, Mondo. 6 meters, Sam. This is getting good. How is it going to end in Doha?
Mondo.
Somebody hugging
He's
someone.
At least that will win.
What I loved as well is that somebody did a slow motion version of Mondo clearing a 6 meter jump, and it really shows the absolute technical precision that's involved in the pole vault. And there's a lot to be said then when you look at his body composition at the moment as somebody who's just towards the end of their teenagers. There's not a lot of body fat, there's not a lot of muscle even, and maybe that's the ideal. Maybe that's what he needs to stay as, you know? Whereas you've got Lisek is a totally different kettle of fish, also breaking 6 meters. So that's the great thing about sports. Different bodies can achieve different things and have different positives about it, you know? So the pole vault is just 100% my favorite event at the moment, hands down. Love it. So I love the pole vault. I loved all those miscellaneous items. Something, the highlight of the summer for athletics for me, probably had to be the British champs. It was a really great competition. Is that a massive stretch to say the British champs was the highlight of the
Yes.
I got a little bit over the top there.
The last 2 years it's been better than usual, hasn't it? Yes, it has. A lot better than usual. There was quite a few of us Atleticos there in Birmingham, obviously getting sunburnt in the stands. The wind was the worst thing, because it's a shame they can't just turn the track around like they do in America, because it would have benefited the sprints a lot. But yeah, obviously Dina was incredible. She's obviously trying to do her sub 11 for every race, and it was so annoying that she did the semi-finals and she was clearly going for a sub 11, and it was 11:03, and it was a minus 2.3 wind, I think. And I don't know if you saw Statman John's tweet that was actually the fifth fastest time ever into a minus two or above headwind.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Fifth fastest ever. And I think, yeah, it was some crazy, crazy names on that list as well.
Gosh, Dina, wow.
But then, and obviously Asher, I mean, she's back. So she obviously got second ahead of Daryl. But then had to go and chase the time, and then she went to Berlin and ran a PB.
Fantastic.
So yeah, never count out Asher Phillip.
That's it. Daronita produced 2. Imani was ill during the British Championships. She just got back to form, and with Dina winning the Diamond League final, there's a possibility that British women have four female athletes in the sprint, and they really should take advantage of that.
Yeah.
She's going to be there anyway.
Definitely.
Yeah. Her run out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think she could run a good time as well now she's getting back.
Speaking of getting back, Chris, then in the women's 200 meters was another stellar race.
Again, that was a great race. It's a shame about the -4.5 hurricane that they were running into, because I think that probably was a 22.5 at least for Jodie, because obviously Jodie won it. Best was second. Ashley Nelson wasn't far off in third either. No, so it was just such a it's a shame that Dina couldn't win the diamond and let Ashley go as well. She did try. again, great to see Jodie back, but I still wanted to do 400 over the 200. But she's doing the 400 at the match, isn't she, next week? So so I'm keen to see what Jodie does at the match, because there is obviously a third spot open in the four if she did want to change her mind. But also obviously great to see Adam Jamini back as well. He's like legitimately back now, isn't he? I mean,
see that coming, no, at all. I thought it was going to be a scrap between him and Nathaniel for the third spot. I did not see him winning, and in that time, not at all.
Outstanding.
And again, that was another massive headwind, and you think that was probably a sub-20 in normal conditions. And I mean, Zarnell didn't really turn up, did he, at trials? I don't think. I thought Zarnell would have won maybe both of them, one and the two.
I thought he was a given in the 100.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel he had a great start to the season, and it would make sense for him to be kind of tapering at the moment, you know? So he didn't need to win. He needed to qualify. He did so in two events. It's great to see two British men doubling up.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can I say how much I love Adam's training squad now? Just that mix of people. I've seen a few Spikes articles, and I think there was an article by Tatiana Pinto about the group, but it's just so diverse. So is Pinto and DeGrasse and Omar McLeod and is it Nia Ali as well? And it's such a diverse group. I love it. I just love everything about that group. I think it's great.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw Adam's Instagram stories today. It's him in the car with Trayvon Bromell, Omar McLeod, and I think Jazz was in the back, all singing a song. It's quite nice. Just driving around.
That's what I get from the group. They're all so sunny, like sunny disposition, each and every one of them. And, you know, there's the Chinese guy as well.
Z.
And
thriving.
The dark horse for the 100.
Yeah, they're all really thriving at the moment. It's great to see.
And obviously I thought it was great to see OJ win it. To actually win the 100, because OJ's been around for a while, and it's like he said it himself, it's always been mental with him, it's never been necessarily physical. And to see him kind of just get that win, it was so huge for him, because if he'd have come third, there would have been a little bit of doubt whether they would have picked him or not, I think, because you know he's not consistently been running quick times. But just for him to win, that was a huge moment, and it was lovely to see Amani there with him and hugging him and all that. And he was I was really happy for him, because that was his one moment, and he's been waiting a long time for that.
It's not a champs if being Carol aren't crying, and he delivered that for us. So that was good.
In the field, the women's long jump was one of the highlights again, like it was last year. Because it didn't feel like it was as exciting last year in the run up, because Abigail was the only one who had the standard, and it was like, oh, she's just going to win it and qualify. But then Shara jumped 684, and then Jazz was 1 centimetre off the qualifier with 671, and then even Lorraine did 668. Abigail jumped that PB of 686. So we've got the depth is still there from last year.
Mm-hmm. What was amazing about Abigail is that just a week before that, or maybe 2 weeks before that at the anniversary game, she broke, she got the qualifying distance, and she spoke to you, Chris, didn't she?
Yeah, that was at Birmingham. Yeah, because she went to the Euro Team Champs and got it, but it was wind assisted, so it didn't count.
Okay.
And then at Birmingham, she got it in the competition again, which was a great competition with Naffy and Kat and Spanovic, and she got the qualifier there. Yeah, then I quickly had a chat with her afterwards.
So you've got the distance to Doha. You must be happy.
Oh yeah, I'm elated. I'm really, really thankful to get this distance. I've been working for it since like the indoor season, feeling like it's coming, and to finally see that manifested is just like relief.
Because obviously last weekend you got it, but the wind wasn't right, yeah. And that must have been frustrating.
It was frustrating, and to be fair, I think maybe it was back in July or June I competed in Marseille. I jumped 6:70 with a 2.2 meters per second wind, so there I was like, oh, I was feeling really rubbish, I was feeling really poorly, and yeah, I was still able to jump that distance, so that gave me confidence then. And then it was frustrating hitting 50s, so I mean, to now see it happen, I don't know, it's one of those things where you're just like, wow, thank you God for making this happen, because I've been waiting for this for so long.
just going way back to like 2012 when you didn't make the team and then you've been injured. I mean, it's been a long road to you.
Yeah, it's been a massive roller coaster. And I know that, you know, athletes, if you talk to any athlete, they're going to have a story. I feel like, you know, I've had 3 surgeries. I literally retired in 2016. I truly believed that it was over. And then to come back last year to get the European standard and not go to the European champs. And then this year to literally have made every single GB team up till this point, and even now be potentially on the plane. You know, I have to secure my position next weekend, but I don't know, it's just like night and day, so I'm thankful that, you know, those tears that I've cried on countless occasions are now turning into like laughter and joy and like just thankfulness, just so much thankfulness for where I am.
So what made you come back in 2017, because you said you retired in 2016? What was did you just not quite give up or?
So basically, this is going to be so weird, but you know, so after 2016, I kind of just felt like God was like, okay, this isn't for you anymore. I feel like this gift that I have in long jump is from God. You know, any gift that we have, it is. And so I just felt like it was time to let it go. But then I kind of felt pulled back to it. Like, I don't know, like, just like God was like, okay, give it another shot. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to trust you that if I'm going to give it another shot, it's in your hands, but you really need to let me excel, please God. I don't want to just come into this sport for no reason. I wouldn't come back if I didn't believe that I could jump further than my 6:80, if I didn't believe that I could make an Olympic team. So I feel like that's what made me come back, knowing that there's unfinished business and I don't want to look back and have any regrets. And you know, God has given me this talent, he's kept me healthy for this whole year, which is absolutely incredible. I've had, you know, small things, but nothing major like I've had in the past. So roundabout way of saying that's why I've come back. Sorry.
You have the standard now for Doha, so yeah. Surely you must be thinking I'm kind of, that's in your sights now, the world champs.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Like, the world champs is definitely in my sight. I just need to make sure I'm on the podium next weekend, top 2 actually, because that 3rd place is discretionary. And you know, and then from there do 4 solid weeks of good training where I'm working on the technical points that I was missing out on to get that 6:80 and 90, because I believe that is in my legs and I'll need that. And it'd be nice to go into the world champs and go into next year having the Olympic standard, which is 6:82. And I'll obviously be over the moon because it will be a personal best, and I'll just be crying with happiness and joy and all the rest. So yeah.
And so what happens if you do go to Doha, you're in the British best, after all the journeys and struggles you've been through, would it be great just to be on that runway?
Oh my goodness, yeah, it'll be the best feeling. It's nice just being on the team and going to the qualifying rounds. Just the whole experience. I think before 2016, there was so much pressure. There's so many low moments that I actually couldn't even enjoy when the moments were good. And so for now, I've like got a totally like fresh perspective on everything. So when I come in here, I'm like, okay, I will get the crowd involved. Okay, I'm gonna look around. I'm gonna really take it all in. So like from the start to the finish, you know, from holding camp to the end of that meet, I'm gonna be trying to take it in and enjoy every moment of it, because I now realize that you don't get this all the time. It's not always like this, so I really need to ride this wave for as long as possible.
Do you feel like that's why you're jumping so well, because the pressure's off and you know you can just enjoy?
Yeah, 100%. I truly do believe, like, you know, if it's for me, it's for me. If God wills this, and I've worked hard. It's not like I'm not saying, oh, you know, God is doing all of this. Like, you can't just have this gift and do nothing with it. I have a gift and I'm working hard to nurture it and to build on it. And so I do believe, in a way, I've been through so many challenges. I kind of deserve this. I kind of deserve this one of good fortune. So yeah, I'm making the most of it. I'm really enjoying myself. I'm definitely letting off the pressure, just believing, like, follow the process rather than like, oh, I need 72. Like, that's definitely there, but at the same time I'm like, actually, how do I get to 72? Oh, I need to structure my runway like this. Oh, I need to make sure I hit the board like this. So it's like, you know, it's focusing on that process, which really helps me because I'm that type of my person.
Well, from all of us, we'd love to see you in Doha and then in Tokyo next year. So best
of luck. Thank you.
Cheers.
That's a great interview with Abby, Chris. Thanks so much for that. And what I loved about that is she talks about how great it would be to make that Olympic qualifier of 6.82. And she said, you know, that would be my PB. And then she did it. She goes to the British Championships and she did it. And it was, I just delighted for her. Her and Annie Corte are just such a story at the moment.
Yeah.
This comeback from injury to not only get back into the sport, but get back to the best shape of your life. It's very inspiring.
They're both really good friends as well, so it's nice to come back together and enjoy that.
Yeah, it's the fact that they both retired. You know, Annie was doing journalism. You know, she was completely journalism. That's what we call it.
And she was actually proper journalism.
Actual proper journalism, not just like pretending. The women's long jump, obviously a highlight of the champs. And then, so now is the men's triple jump. We have a triple jumper.
Oh, I'm so happy about that.
He's so good.
I've loved him since youths, and he was so good in youths. I think he was like 1630, 1640, really early on. But it just, he didn't progress. He went to America, Chris, right? He did a whole stint over there.
NCAAs. Yeah, I think so. And then,
NCAAs.
Yeah, and then it's only literally been this year that he's moved to Loughborough and moved in with sharing the flat with Jasmine Sawyers.
Delighted.
And obviously he's actually got a nice solid base now, and because obviously you're a team champ, so you had the breakthrough, got the world and Olympic qualifier in that one jump, but then to go to trials and then back it up in your first round, like, that was a first round jump. To do that, I mean, that'll easily get him into the world final, a jump like that, and then to be honest, another 10 centimeters and you're not far off the medals.
I mean, I think it was London, wasn't it, 17 low 17 got a medal, I think, in London in 2017. Obviously, I feel like the standard is a bit higher this year, but you say, anything around, 1730, 1740, you're going to have to shout, definitely.
Yeah.
And I had never heard of him until, a month ago.
Oh, really?
Never.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did well at the last team champs. He pulled out a win, kind of, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's when I first noticed him.
And I think he was supposed to go in the Commonwealths. I'm sure he was in the team, but then had to pull out because of injury. His step phase is really, really nice.
Really?
He just floats. Yeah.
He can maybe lend it to Eula Moore.
But two things that come to mind with Ben is that I think physically, I mean, Chris, you talked about the base in Loughborough, but physically he's really developed a base there. I think maybe because of the injuries, they decided, okay, we need to be much stronger, and he's much, much stronger physical specimen at the moment. Obviously, since the last time I saw him, he's probably more teens, but he's much bigger, much broader, much wider. And the other thing, he's very articulate, he's a really nice guy, he comes across really well. If I was a shoe company, I would 100% jump on him, because the triple jump is that event where when someone starts to develop momentum, they go from being a 17.20 to a 17.70. And you're just like, how did that happen, you know? And he's, for me, he's had this jump into the early 17s, and it would not surprise me at all if it was like a 17.68 in Doha or in Tokyo, you know, and a medal there for him, because he's capable. And that's great to see. Britain need it.
Yeah, no, you should get him onto the circuit, surely, as well. You know, so his personal training customers can maybe put on some weight, but you know, he's definitely, you know, when you look at the results from this year, behind obviously the Americans, his distances are more than good enough to be competing at Diamond Leagues.
Yeah, I think we'll hopefully see him on the circuit a lot more next year if he keeps injury free,
and if the triple jump is still in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's
true. In the other events in the field, I think it's just worth mentioning the shot put, how both. Well, Scott Lincoln in particular has now been throwing over 20 metres and looks like he's, you know, hopefully progressing and maybe could make Tokyo next year. And then obviously the women's, Sophie McKenna again, throwing so consistently around that 18 metre mark. And I think we all like her. We've all decided we like Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She seems to have a good personality. And I didn't realise she was working with Judy Oakes as well.
Yeah, I heard that on the Backstreet Boys podcast.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah, really interesting.
Yeah, because Judy Oakes was there to give out the medals. That was really good, to be fair. The British champs, they got loads of the old stars to give out the medals, which was really nice. It was actually what we've been saying for years, that they should do that instead of, you know,
the CEO of Elastoplast.
Yeah, exactly. so yeah, it was nice to see Judy Oakes give out the shot put medals and things like that. So And then Gabby, just want to talk about Tim. What was he up to at the trials?
So Tim was doing the long jump and the hurdle. So he won the long jump, but it went right down to the last couple of jumps. So I think it was only a centimetre between him and Dan Bramble, and that was quite similar, I think, to what had happened in previous years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he'd be relatively happy with that. But then he was also competing in the hurdles, which of course, you know, wasn't necessarily going to be competitive there. But he ran a wee bit slower than you might have liked. And told me afterwards that that's because he was running it in his middle distance spikes.
Oh my god!
So I thought that was perhaps a kind of a Kilty type incident where someone had liked the look of Tim's spikes, made off with them, but no, he just picked the wrong pair out of his bag. So he's under clear instruction to label them all clearly before we get to Doha. but he's in pretty good shape. I mean, he he's qualified already for Doha. He's got the score from last year, but he was looking just for a few opportunities to get race fit or kind of competition fit. He's kind of headed back to the States and it's straight onto the training camp. So that's quite exciting. But I mean, there's been a lot of the multi-eventers bossing the individual events recently, and obviously we've talked about KJT and NAFI as well, but around the continent, you know, people like Geraldine Rookstall have been winning javelin competitions, and Kevin's been, you know, banging out ridiculous hurdle times and throwing 17 metres in a shot and stuff like that. So we're in a really interesting phase just now where you've got some of these multi-eventers who are actually winning individual competitions as well, which is really good fun.
Yeah, it was good to see KJT doing a pretty full programme as well at trials, because obviously she'd done the long jump at the Birmingham Diamond League the week before, and then to do the shot and the javelin and the high jump, and she was all dashing about all over the place. It was really funny, because I think there was a bit of overlap. I think she'd just finished the shot and she had to dash over to the high jump, and then even there she put in a good show at the high jump. But I was really pleased for Morgan actually to get 194. Because I think she's struggled a bit lately, and I think she's actually moved back to being coached by her dad now. I think she's left Fuzz Ahmed's group.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, I think she's just back working with her dad like she was when she was a multi-eventer. So it seems like she's getting back on the right track again, which is good.
Yeah, because I know she was a bit disappointed in Yavle and the high jump. She didn't perhaps do as well as she would have wanted to there.
And then just I thought the other good field events was maybe the men's hammer. I thought nice to see Nick Miller qualify, and then Taylor Campbell threw a PB for second, which was great. And I think further behind that there were some other good PBs and season's best, but I think only Nick's got the standard, so he's the only one going to Doha. But I thought I'd then just quickly just go on to the hurdles. Di Green.
The ghost of Christmas past, Di Green, really.
The Lorna selfie.
I was surprised with his run in the final, because he looked like he was struggling in the heat.
Yeah.
He really pulled that out of the bag. And it's a shame he didn't have enough time left to get the qualifier. That's how it goes.
But then Cindy O'Filly, who obviously won the 100 hurdles, and it was really weird because we watched that race and we thought, like, oh, that's it, she's got the time, because she was so far ahead, and then it was like, damn it, the headwind. it was so strong.
Oh, and the clock was wrong as well.
Yeah.
Is it okay?
I think we all knew that the time wasn't quite right, and then we rounded it down and it was like, oh, she's so close. And then again, she's run 12.8 since, so shows that she's actually in really good shape now.
Yeah, and she ran Queen Clay so close today, and she's one of those gamers. Like her sister, I think the Ophelia sisters are brilliant at raising their game when push comes to shove. So I would earmark her for having a good chance of making the final in the women's hurdles, which is probably the most competitive race in Doha.
I think in terms of times, they're all separated by a few tenths, aren't they, pretty much?
Definitely.
Those that are behind, like Williams and Harrison, it's pretty tight.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone's games, it's just about being consistent on the day. So somebody who's not consistent is the, or are, I guess, plural, British men's 800-metre winners.
Yeah, I've been saving the middle distance shit show for that. Because that's the only way to describe it. It was just in the 1500, there was only Gemma Reekie and Sarah McDonald that had the time. That was the 1-2. And then 800, you know, it was Shalina and Lindsay got the top two, and Alex Burke was third. That was quite straightforward. You know, that's very easy. And the men were just like, no, we'll have the two that don't have the qualifying time be the top two. Oh, it was just a mess.
It was a mess. And drama ensued then also over Twitter, which, to be honest, I just could not care less about. I'm just like, oh, please, who cares? Aside from the fact that I think Kyle is a really talented athlete and I want to see him in Doha because he was so close in London, but... Gabby, you love a bit of gossip. Come on, go.
Well, see, so I came at this with an analytical perspective because I never saw any of it, actually. So I was just trying to pick up what was going on. So I did draw myself a flowchart, which wasn't entirely right, but there was a combination of in the middle of this kind of. Was this the 1500 rather than 800? Is that right?
It's the 800.
Yeah, right. Okay. So yeah. That was the kind of key piece of information I was missing. But yeah, there was an incident in the race, and it'd be fair to say that one of the coaches seemed to be implicated in some sort of behaviour, and then a very well known distance runner made reference to this. And that very well-known distance runner is married to someone who was an agent to at least one of the athletes involved, but also an agent and a coach to another very, very famous British middle and long distance runner who is coached by someone else who's in the mix. And I've forgotten who that was. And then Sally Gunnell was something to do with it. And Laura Turner was related to it as well. So that kind of what happened. We do have a flowchart, kind of, but yeah, I think as Chris said, there was a bit of a shit show going on both on and off the track, I think it would be fair to say.
But what was interesting, Chris, is I remember when that started happening, you suggested that maybe there was a bit of grievance that he'd got the call, that he hadn't made the team.
Yeah.
So I was very surprised when he made the team.
Yeah, because all this stuff was being posted on like the day they get told if they've made the team or not. So I just thought it was him like lashing out, but obviously not. He just obviously wanted a rant. Well, I guess, although to be fair, did Paula start it? Is that fair to say?
It was Paula.
Yeah, I think it was.
And Andy Butchart also kind of was in there. I forgot him.
But I feel like he's in everything.
Yeah, him and Lindsay are never that far away. Are they? Just saying their piece, and then obviously Tom Bosworth just chips
good,
in.
Good.
Tom, yeah.
But, don't know what he's got to do with it. He just wanted to say something.
I think. It was an interesting start to the week, wasn't it? Following all of that on social media.
So is the said coach, previously aforementioned coach, Gabby, going to be in Doha?
I have no bloody idea. No clue.
Pull out your charge, come on. No, I think we're home and dry. But at the end of the day, it's a strong men's 800 metres team that was picked for Worlds. It's Langford, Giles and Jamie Webb, right?
Yeah.
Which is good. So the only kind of issue in middle distance was that Charlie Grice didn't make 15.
Yeah, he's not going. It's a shame. It's crazy, isn't it? He's like run 3:30 this year, like one of the quickest times ever in the UK, and he's not going. But and obviously, it's just it just shows how strong our middle distance is at the moment that he can't even finish top two at trials. I mean, credit to Neil Gourlay. I think I'm so pleased for him because obviously you forget he was running so well indoors and made the final in Glasgow, but then had to pull out.
Oh so, yeah.
So I think he didn't quite get that chance, did he, to shine and. And obviously, Josh Kerr is someone else who's been obviously good at racing in championships in America. And so it's nice to see him make the team. And I think Jake probably is maybe our best medal hope in 15. Mm-hmm. So I think they had to pick him. And I initially suggested that maybe he do the 8 and Charlie do the 15 because Jake and Charlie had qualifying times in both. But I think they realised that Carl was probably the better bet given his, you know, came fourth last time. So. Actually, I do feel for Charlie, but to be fair, I don't know if you saw his Instagram post the other day. He did. Yeah. He was very, he was very nice. I thought it was very respect to him because he was very polite about it and was like, wish him all the best. You know, I didn't make it. Good luck to the team, which was really nice.
What I really liked as well, although it ended up not actually affecting the situation, was that God, what's his name? Gary Learmonth. Gary, and God, who was the other guy? The guy who was not Guy.
Spencer Thomas.
Spencer Thomas. So the pair of them were trying to get the qualifying time, so they put on an 800 metre race at the Tunbridge Twilight thing, and then Jack Green came in to pace them, and I thought that was great actually because it created a wee bit of excitement. And again, it was a damp squib because they didn't get the time, we kind of forgot about it. But actually that kind of thing just created a little bit of momentum. It just, you know, it brought in just a bit of interest. Are they going to do it? And, you know, no, they didn't. But those kind of things feel quite important. Everyone just pulling together to see what might be possible. I thought that was a really good, you know, thing that athletics can come up with its own excitement, and you don't necessarily need to get rid
of the trip. Yeah, like you say, it was the fact it was so last minute, and it was like they were trying to find a race, and they said, oh, we'll put one on for you. And then Jack was like, I'll pace it. And then it was suddenly it was on Facebook Live and we could all watch it, and it was it became a thing.
And that's what I want to say. How do you know you're an Atletico when you pull your car over at the side of the road to watch a really crappy feed on the Facebook Live video to see does Gary Learmonth actually get the time? And that's what I did, and I was like, okay, I'm an Atletico, I know that. But credit to Guy for getting second in that top two place. I mean, time and time again. Mm-hmm. And time and time again, we see the men's 1500 metres at the British Championships isn't a 1500 metres. It's a 600 metres. Yeah. It's so frustrating. It's like, why are you? What are you doing this for? You know, especially when you're a 330 runner, take it out. Nobody has 330 in their legs in that race.
And that's why it was good to see Elise McColgan do the opposite and be like, I'm just going to run. and then it was, she just ran away from the field, did a nice little jog, and that was it. She won the title.
Loved it.
And then finishing second behind her was Jess Judd, who made the team, which I was really, I mean, Mary probably not happy. But
Mary's not happy. Mary was livid.
Because obviously, we thought Laura was going to get a second, but Jess, again, she turns out when she needs to make the scene.
So what is happening
with
Laura?
Yeah, that was a shame. Because... Yeah, Steve Cram, who I've heard is her coach, not entirely sure, but said on the TV that she'd had a month or two out with an injury, but I think also Melissa Courtney, she stopped and didn't look very well, actually.
No.
Well, I'm just going to put something out there. I'm wondering if that was one of Ashley's cakes. Because Ashley is baking a lot of cakes for Melissa. So I'm just wondering.
Is this a euphemism? I'm lost now.
No, it's not. It's really not. Ashley Bryan cooks a lot of cakes for Melissa.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much all the drama of trials. I mean, it was a good weekend, nice weather. And yeah, I think the team's pretty much as we expected, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say perhaps the only one was Charlie Myers got the pole vault qualifier, but he no-heighted and they didn't include him.
Yeah, I think that's harsh. They said today that he had a cold at trials.
Yeah, they said he was
so
ill.
Yeah,
I think that's a bit harsh because he was the only one going into it with the qualifier, but then obviously Harry Koppel turned out and did a championship record, I think, actually, in the pole vault, which was, to be honest, that was the only time we got off our feet.
So I'm gonna put a controversial opinion out there. So you know, fair enough, there's a qualifying standard or whatever, but just given what we're going to see in the pole vault, you know, we're going to see Mondo and Sam and Piotr and the others there. You know, I think that's unfortunate, but sometimes, you know, you think, well, it's a different world, and I guess it's the experience that would be the key thing here rather than anything else. But it's just sometimes it's kind of worth pausing and thinking, are they going to feature? But I suppose I would counter my own argument that it's the experience rather than actually kind of whether or not they feature.
I know what you mean, because I think when you look at what's going on globally in certain events, like I'd maybe think about sending someone like Tom Gale in the high jump if he gets an invite. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a young athlete, and the high jump, 2:28, get you a medal.
Mm. Exactly,
So who do we think will get invites and that will be actually accepted by BA?
I would assume that it would go against BA's whole selection philosophy if they turn down invites for anybody who's on podium or potential funding, because surely that's the entire point, is to take these people to champs because they think they've got the potential to get on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically it's the women's long jump then.
pretty much. And Jasmine confirmed this morning that she's not injured, she just had a cramp.
That's good.
So I would assume she's still in the running because she's the next on the list.
I think she's she's 1 centimeter ahead of she's 1 centimeter ahead of Lorraine, and she did beat her at trial, so I guess that'll be what decides it. I think I'd like to see them pick Jessie Knight in the four hurdles. I think she's the only other one that I'd pick, because she dropped off a third of a second at trials to get a PB to finish third, And then she was another third off that, just missing the qualifying time at the weekend. So she's only a couple of hundredths off it. And she's, for me, is a rising athlete who I'd send.
So just before the British champs, Chris, there was Birmingham. And we've heard from Abby there, but you also spoke to some other athletes, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to have a chat with Sandra Perkovic about why she's not winning the Fantasy Diamond League for us. No, obviously she's having an up and down season this year, so I just wanted to find out what was going on and how she's hoping to find some form before Doha.
How did you feel the meet went today?
I'm feeling sorry because I came here in real good shape and I want to throw very, very far. But maybe it's a long break between Rabat and this meet, so I lose that feeling for the competitions. But I have like now Paris, and then I have Zagreb, my home meet, and then I'm going to Minsk and preparing for the World Championship because I'm really good, and then I just need the click that I show to the others that they know that I'm good.
So how do you feel your season's gone as a whole? Obviously,
crazy, up and down, but I'm happy that I'm healthy, that I'm back, and I need to work on my feeling and everything will be okay. Because it's for me, it's important that I'm healthy, in a good shape, and the throw will come.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel? Obviously, we used to seeing you winning all the time. What's
yeah, but
like?
I heard that it's boring, so I started making fun of it. I'm joking. No, I'm really good. I'm sorry today because I'm really, really good. I'm sorry that I couldn't show what I do in the warm-up. Like, easy throw on 65, easy throw 66, 67 meters. So it's about 65 meters was enough for a win, and I'm not looking for 65, I'm looking for 70 meters. So when an athlete is good and when an athlete is in such a great shape, it's sometimes he's afraid of himself, and sometimes he pushed the brake, and because of that brake, you are throwing like this. So I think on next competition, I need to release that brake and have like six fall. But to find that click for throwing.
Do you feel you're close to getting that click?
Yeah, I threw 67 meters in warm up. I'm very close. So I threw 68.58 in Varaždin. So I'm good, but I need the more healthy training that I can manage it.
Do you feel like with the World Champs being a lot later this year, it actually helps you?
Because of that, World Championships in my season is all crazy because we start really late. We start in January. We are catching the form, and that was like two bad meets. Like, for example, we came to Stockholm, there was 8 degrees, and we are throwing, and then a long break after the Stockholm, and then Rabat, and then everything else. But I think everything is happening for a reason, and I think this is a school for the next competitions, and I hope I will be the good one when we'll be better.
And then Doha, do you reckon you can get your title?
Yeah, I don't want to think about the medals in Doha. I just want to go there and throw the distance I'm capable of. And if I throw that, I know a lot of things I can do. But if I don't find the right throw and the right feelings, is everything is not good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're loving this. You're doing such a good job with these interviews. You're so good at it. I love it. Really get a taste of their personalities. And did you talk to anybody else then after Sander?
Yeah, literally for about, I had about 60 seconds with Shawnee Miller-Weibo after she'd just won that pretty decent 200, which was like everybody was in that 200, and she just managed to beat Dina and Shelly-Ann to the win, and just asked her a few questions about what she's looking forward to in Doha.
So how do you think the race went today? Obviously it was a big stacked field against you, but you came through and won.
I just give God all the thanks and praise for allowing to finish the race healthy. I think the entire field did a really great job. We came in here, we put on a show for the crowd. It's something that we were looking forward to, and yeah, it was just really great to come out here and compete well, and you know, just get a good feel of a great competition for the year.
So obviously looking ahead to Doha, do you know what you're doing yet, if the schedule is going to work in your favour?
I don't think it is, but we're focusing just on the 400, and we'll just go with that. But yeah, the main thing is just to try and go out there and get the title and get through the season.
Do you know if Bahama's going to enter a mixed relay team, the 4x4, and if you're going to be in it?
I don't think we're going to enter one in. I think it's because the mixed relay is right before the 400s, and so that's going to be a big problem for some of the 400 meter runners, and so we're just focusing on our individuals for now, and then
and then obviously the 400, you want to win the world title, actually.
yeah definitely we're really working hard towards it, and you know, hopefully thanks panel for the best that we've been working really hard, like I said, so I'm excited to see how things turn out.
And how's your husband getting on? Is he all prepped for Doha?
He's actually getting a lot of good training right now, but yeah, he's really excited for it and really preparing really well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, have a nice day.
Yeah, thank you.
Yay, Chris, fantastic. So, Shawnee is looking in tremendous shape. She's been amazing in the most recent Diamond League, where she took the scalp of Dina to win the 200 metres. And this is pretty much, for me, the main highlight of the fact that Doha are hosting the champs, is that we get to experience all the Diamond Leagues before the champs. And so we can really get an idea of who's going to medal, who's going to make the finals. That's how I feel about it anyway. And probably more so than ever before. So there's several Diamond Leagues that we've yet to discuss, but we're going to wait, guys, right?
Yay.
Yeah.
Have a little chat about them on our next pod, because we're going to use results of those champs to inform our decisions and our predictions for the Doha Worlds. And Dave thinks Jenna Brandini is going to win gold.
Fuck off.
Mr. Dave, who will be absolutely useless in a situation involving Jenna Brandini. Who knows? Maybe it will still happen. Who knows? But that will be our next episode, just kind of condensing some of those results, yes, and discussing what they mean for the future champs. Guys, I've had a great time chatting to you. There's been several miscellaneous items that have been particularly interesting, I have to say. And it's great to know that Ashley bakes cakes, and that wasn't just some kind of word euphemism. But yeah. So things that we learned in this show: Salpeter is ancient, apparently. Thanks, Dave, for that.
She's 30. I've just looked it up. She's 30.
Oh, ancient. She's probably
so she is. Right.
Oh.
Yeah,
so old.
Absolutely ancient.
Yeah.
Over there.
Caron Stewart is the new president of Estonia, apparently. And Carol went to school with Mr. Motivator and some Steve Hudge.
So thanks for listening to another episode of Trackcastic. Next up is our Doha preview. It's going to be hot. Really hot. Really, really hot. But not as hot as Fantasy Doha Lucky Dip. I've been Gabby at Smoky Mozzarella.
I've been Jamie at McGann Jamie.
I've been Carol at Flick22S.
I've been Chris at Chris Brown Sport.
I've been Kerry at Le Petit Cochon.
And I've been David at Fan_Athletics.